And I want you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 8 today. And I want to share what I feel like is upon my heart today. I will do my best to get as far along with it. Like I said, I worked yesterday quite a bit and got a lot done. And I've already got two or three messages ahead on stuff that I feel like God's talking to me about. But what I'm going to talk about this morning, I dare say, is one of the most serious things I could talk about. And it's found in the book of John, chapter number 8. And I want you to look in verse number 31, if you will. And we pick this up here, and Jesus said to the Jews, which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, but we are Abraham's seed, and we never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, we shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Very important. Jesus is again dealing with the religious individuals of the day. He's dealing with the Pharisee, and they were the law keepers. They were very strict in what they'd done. They gave great adherence to the word, and they gave great adherence to Abraham. But yet Jesus was coming to do something far much more than what they even recognized. Jesus was wanting to give them a brand new revelation of a relationship that they could have with him. You know, we've never really understood how that God does the things that God does. God can take a black heart that has been infiltrated with sin, a blackened heart that has the grossness of sin all over that heart, that inside, that inner person, if you will. But yet we can look and see how that God in his righteousness and through the redemptive work on Calvary of his dear son Jesus Christ can take a black heart, wash it in red blood, and make it white as snow. You say, well, Pastor, I don't understand. And it's by faith that we serve him. I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and give you white milk. But I'm not going to eat dry cereal because I don't understand it. There's a lot we don't understand as it comes into the context of the scripture and even in some of the depths of the sayings of Jesus. But Jesus was trying to introduce himself to the religious crowd of that day. He comes back and he says this in verse number 37. He says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By the word of God, the heavens was framed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand forever. Verse 38, again, Jesus comes and he says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father, which is Abraham and Jesus, God's son. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man which I have heard of God, which heard of God, this did not Abraham. Verse 41 says, you do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Verse 42 is the key verse in this lesson. It says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. When you look in verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? And Jesus gets very blunt and very, when I read this, I thought Jesus' words were very straightforward, and his words were very direct towards the Pharisee and those that were trying to kill him. And we know the story of the cross. We know how that Jesus came and how that Jesus stood before the religious leaders of the day and before Caiaphas, before Pilate, and before the crowd, before those after the great day of the feast, that Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey, how that the crowd called for Barabbas to be delivered and they cried for Jesus to be crucified. We know that. We've studied those things for years. But the thing that Jesus came and Jesus looked these Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day and he said, you don't even know God. You don't even know who God is. If you knew God, you would know me. And he says in verse 44, he says, and you are of the Father and you are of your father the devil. And the lust of the Father will you do. He is a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you believe me not? Verse 47, and he that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Father, I do love you today, and Father, I do ask you to touch me today. Lord, I know, God, today that you have a plan for this service this morning. I know, God, that all things work together for good to them that love God and those that are called according to your purpose. Now, Father, let my focus be upon you, and let my thoughts and my intent be pure before you today. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be obedient to your word. Allow your word to seed our hearts, to get down deep into our hearts, that God, that it would take root, and that we would live for you all the days of our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's a lot of reading in that. There's a lot of stuff in there that I will not have time to go into, and a lot of that I did not even read for the purpose of this lesson today and what I want to express, because it would take a long time to dissect these verses and talk about and expound upon every one of them. But in this lesson, in this text today, there were some things that I believe is very imperative that we hear in the church that Jesus was trying to emphasize to those that were the hearers of that day. This is me. May not be you. When you're doing it, you do it your way. This is my way. But I believe what Jesus was trying to do was to get them to get their minds off of the religious order of the day. And Jesus introduced himself unto them as God's only begotten Son. So therefore, that they would be more in love with him, Jesus, than some type of religious order of that particular day. The Pharisee, the Sadducee, and the Sanhedrin, all of those had place in the religious sector of that day, the Jewish sector of that day. And here we have Jesus coming on the scene that we know now, looking back to the cross and looking at the virgin birth and looking at his spotless life. What is it that we need? What is it that we need attention on? Diligent about what we do. It's found there in this text where Jesus says this in verse number 42. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. When we think about that, I think one of the challenges that myself as a pastor and around the church at large, no matter what denominational label somebody may have on any particular church, is that we, the church, must somehow rekindle the fire that we have to love the Lord thy God. Now, we need to love the Lord. Then the Bible explicitly says that. I believe we need to teach the church how to love Jesus. I believe that we need to teach our children how to love Jesus. I believe that we as leaders, we need to exemplify that. We need to live that life by example. And we need to lead in a manner that God would get the glory and that God would get the honor, and make sure that our life does not drive people away from God, but to drive people towards the Lord. And we are an example of His body on planet Earth today. So I ask you this question. I ask you this question today as we get into this. Do you really love the Lord Jesus with everything that's within you? We see that God says in the Scripture that God loved us first. It's not that we loved Him, but He loved us, and He gave His life for us. When we think about love today, and I could spend the rest of the time on this, and I won't spend the rest of the time on it, but when I begin to think about this, we can look into the Scripture, and we can see that the very nature and the very character of God is love. The Bible says that God is love. But when we think about love, we look into the Greek word for love and we think about it, and I've mentioned this so many times, we look at this agapeo, and this word agapeo is actually a word in the New Testament sense that Jesus used in the Scripture in verse 42. And He says, if you were of your father, you would love me. If you were of your father, you would love me. Now, this is where it's very interesting, because when you look at this in the agapeo in the Greek, when you look at that, this is what that word love means. It means to love. Well, that was simple enough. But here's the latter part of that. It says that this word agapeo means to it indicates a direction of the will and finding one's joy in something. It is a directing of one's will and finding joy in something. When I think about this, I think about the church. I think about, we say we love the Lord Jesus, and are we really truthfully directing our will towards Him? I hope this connects today. I hope this makes sense today. Because the church today at large, we've got to really, in my view, we've got to really focus our intent on loving the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to do that. Everything we do here today is about Jesus, about the spotless Lamb of God. When John saw Him coming by the way, John began to cry out, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. The only way that you and I can sit here today redeemed and saved, born again, is by what Jesus did and His sacrificial death. This is Memorial Day weekend. Jesus' life is a memorial. It is a reminder of the life that He gave for your sins and my sins. And to be honest with you, as a Christian, here's my question today. Why would we not love Jesus? Why would we not love Jesus with everything that is within us? When you look into the book of Mark, and I'm going to turn there along with you today, and we're going to see a few things today. The book of Mark, chapter number 12, there's a few verses of Scripture there that when I begin to read through this, I thought they were very important that we hear this, and it starts in verse number 30. Actually, I can go back to verse 29 and before that, because he goes on to say, and Jesus answered him, and this first of all, the commandment is hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And then he says in verse 30, now I know that I've mentioned this so many times, and Deuteronomy's even mentioned this in the Old Testament. I'll spare you going there today. But yet here in the scripture text, we can see this in verse number 30, where this is the words of Jesus to those disciples and the scribes, rather, that was there on this occasion. And this is what he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart." Inventory time. Inventory time. Do you, as you sat there today, can you honestly say before the Lord God of heaven that you love the Lord thy God with all of your heart? Hello, somebody. Do you feel a pull on your heart today? Do you feel a tug on your heart today? Do you feel like that you've got to love God with an intent? You've got to focus your mind and focus your attention upon Him. I know we live in a day of distractions. We live in the day that there's all kinds of things going on around us. But I'm talking about Christians today that love God, that confess with your mouth that you are saved, you are born again, you're a child of God. But yeah, it seems like today you have to beg people to come to church. It seems like you have to beg people to read their Bibles. It seems like you have to beg people to sing. It seems like you have to beg people to show up. And I just personally don't understand that, because if you love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, your strength, and your mind, my friend, nobody's going to come looking for you, because you're going to be in God's presence. Come on, somebody, and help the preacher preach today. By the way, that's my role as a preacher, as a pastor. Somebody says you shouldn't get so boisterous, you shouldn't get so loud. Go ahead and put that in your memoirs, and it's my job to do so. So I'm just fulfilling God's call upon my life. Amen. I'm just doing what He told me to do. So when we see this in the Scripture, and I want this to get into your heart today, I want you to get this in your spirit today, because these are not the great suggestions. This is a commandment. This is what God said you had to do. And Jesus said, if you begin to look back at this text, and let me roll there for just a minute, because when you look at this, when Jesus was dealing with the Pharisee there, He said, "If God were your Father, you would have loved me." Wow! If God is your Father, if you say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." If you account God as your Father, Jesus said, you're going to love me. This is the thing that I thought about as I was studying through all of this, because He comes back there in verse number 30 and He says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all your mind, and with all of your strength." This is the first commandment. What does that mean in lingo, today's lingo? That means, friend, put everything you got into it. Amen. I mean hook, line, and sinker. Oh, go for the gusto. I mean go wide open into it. Go with everything you got. And I know. Somebody says, "Well, I'm just not a religious person." But I know today I didn't say anything about religion either. My friend, this is a relationship. This is loving the Lord thy God with everything within you, everything in your soul, everything in your mind, everything in your strength. And He said, this is the first commandment. Jesus said this even in the Ten Commandments, even says to love the Lord thy God, love God first. And then He teaches us that you're not supposed to do other elements. I'm not going to go into Exodus 20 and read all of that, but you can go to Exodus 20 and read the commandments today. God taught them how to have relationship with Him first. And as you learn how to have a relationship with God first, then He says you can learn how to love your fellow man. He says this in the next verse. He says, "And the second is like that, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these." The two things that Jesus even mentioned this. And Jesus, again, He comes back and He says this in things that Jesus. Jesus, again, He comes back this. 15. Note. "If you love me, keep my commandments, do what I have told you to do." Judgment often came swift and judgment came quick. I've been, since the first of the year, and many people in the room are doing the very same thing. We're reading through the Bible in a year. We're reading through the Bible in a year, and I'm in that place where When you begin to see Israel do wrong, you see Israel forsake God and begin to serve themselves and begin to serve idols and begin to sacrifice children to Molech and Ashtoreth and all of the other fake gods of the Old Testament, idol gods of the Old Testament. The hand of God would be removed and judgment would swiftly come upon the children of Israel. There's not a person under the sound of my voice that wants judgment. Nobody. We don't like to talk about judgment because we want it to be easy and we want it to be smooth and we want it to be nice and we like to be comforted and we like to be cuddled. But God did not call me here today to tell you that you're okay in your sin because your sins have separated between you and your God. And the Bible says again, if we really love God, my friend, we're going to separate ourselves from the sinful lifestyles of this world. Judgment came swift upon them in the Old Testament. Judgment came quick upon them and if they had a divided allegiance. And my friend, we can see this all the way throughout the Old Testament. So first of all, Jesus again in this text, he begins to say these words. He begins to say this in verse 42. And Jesus said, If God were your father, you would have loved me. Now, I'm going to do something I don't often do, but I was reading yesterday and this scripture, I began to look at it in a lot of different ways, and this is one of the commentaries, one of the versions actually said these words, and it's an amplified version, and it said, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, and he puts in parentheses, and he says, but he is not. You would love and recognize me, for I came from God. Parentheses. And recognize I came out of his and have arrived here. And then he says, for I have not come on my own initiative. And again, parentheses again, as self-appointed. But he, again, parentheses, is the one who sent me. And Jesus says, I didn't come here of my own accord. I have come here because the Father has sent me. And if you really loved God, you would have recognized me. And one of the things I thought about moving forward is simply this. Yes, the Bible says we're to love God. But you know, here's another thing about love that I found out in my few years on this earth. You can't force love. You can't make nobody love you. They might be nice to you. They might be friendly to you. But you can't force love. Love is something that happens in the heart. And you can't make somebody love you. In all reality, no matter how hard you try, I as a pastor, I can't make nobody in this room love God. I remember, I'm going to get a little mushy here for a minute if you don't care. I remember when Sherry and I first met. I was in my teens, she was in her teens. Believe it or not, we've known each other that long. I was in the 12th grade in junior high, moving up into high school. They changed all that around. And every day on the school bus. And I don't know how this happened, but one day I was looking out the window of the school bus, and I was very shy. I was backwards, and I wasn't looking for love. I wasn't looking for nothing. I wasn't looking for anything. But one day on that school bus, as we rounded the curve at the old Canton Armory, here this girl was on the sidewalk. And for absolute a month or weeks, however long it was, I would make sure when I got on the school bus, I'd always be on that side of the school bus just to see if she was on the sidewalk that day. God orchestrated this. I don't know how it happened. God done it. Because I didn't know her. She didn't know me. She wasn't looking for no boyfriend, I don't reckon. And I wasn't looking for nothing but just a redneck and a welding shop and a chew of tobacco. That's all I was looking for. Because I didn't care about nobody else but that. But I came around that curve so many times. And I know that you're going to have to work with the preacher. I know that love has got to be deeper than an emotional euphoria and a fuzzy feeling on the inside of you. It's got to be more than that, because if you've only got the fuzzy feelings and this emotional euphoria, sooner or later, some of that might subside. Come on, help the preacher preach. But yet when it's genuine love, it happens in your heart. I remember the day. I don't remember a lot about my childhood, and I don't remember a lot about my young adulthood. But I remember the day that I acted like a fool. I guess David did that in front of Saul's daughter that time. I read that yesterday. But I remember the day that I acted like a fool, and as I was there, I said it out loud on the school bus. I stepped down those steps that afternoon. 6483392. Am I right? And I said, hello. She started to hang up on me. She thought I was somebody else. I said, no, don't hang up. Don't hang up. I said, I'm the guy from the bus that's been hollering at you. She said, oh. Love does that to you. And that's in the physical sense. You can't force love. You can't force love. Love is from God. The Bible said God is love. And the point that I tried to get to by saying every bit of that is you cannot make somebody love you. You cannot make somebody just fall in love with you, so to speak. But love comes out of the heart. Again, in John 14 and 15, Jesus said the evidences of love was simply this. When you look in John 14 and 15, and this is actually what he said. He said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. True love to God comes out of a heart of obedience. The real test of love is the test of obedience, if you will. Again, a husband that says that he loves his wife and he loves his family, but he's never home and he's always gone and he makes excuses why not to be there. I would question that man's love for his family. How do you do this? We can see that, again, when you think about love, love is Christ. It is as Christ comes out of a relationship with him. When Jesus encountered individuals, he told them to bring forth meat or fruit of repentance. To be saved and to be able to say that we've experienced the love of God, one of the things that I truly thought about is that we experience the unconditional love of God himself. That where that Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We know this. He left the 99 in the fold. And he went, Brother Maynard, and he went looking for that one. Look around today, you're that one. When I got saved, the morning I got saved on a Sunday morning at the Clyde Church of God. About 5-10 minutes to 11, round through that, God brought it to my revelation, it's church time and you need to be there. And I ended up going. It's a long story, I won't go through that today. But you know what will change the church more than anything else? More than chicken fried dinners? More than any type of fellowship, more than anything else we can do. You want to know what will change the church? It's to love the Lord thy God. I mean, if you love God, nobody's going to have to wonder if you love God. If I had time, I would go into the book of Galatians in chapter 5 and I'd go through that and I would talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the manifestations of a changed life in the life of a man and a woman or a boy or a girl. And again, it's love and joy and peace and gentleness, meekness, temperance and faith, mercy, long-suffering. Again, the Bible says against those there is no law. We ooze, is that a good word? We just ooze Jesus, amen. And somebody says, well, you're just too spiritual for your own good. No, I made up my mind a long time ago that I'm going to do my best to exemplify and model Christianity to all of those that are around me, and Jesus is expecting no less out of his church today. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, here's the next part. This is the good part. You can't force love. Jesus said, if you love me, you would keep my commandments. He showed us what love is, and this is love, that he laid down his life, and love comes through experience. And I thought about this yesterday as I was studying. And I thought about it, the relationship of love. Now, this is tough. This is the tough one. Because we live in such a... I'm going to get in trouble. I don't want to say it the way I thought it. Maybe I need to reword this. Well, is it okay if I just say it and y'all just sort of help me work through it? We live in such a spoilt brat society. That's the way I thought it. I was trying to say it nicer. I don't know how to say it. Because it's always about what I want, the way I want it, when I want it. And anything that goes contrary to that, I'm going to get mad and puff up like a bullfrog, and I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there, because it didn't go the way I wanted it to go. I remember a time that my daddy could have wore me out. I remember this. Mama might be listening. I don't know, but he was unique. I didn't understand him, and no more than kids understand parents today. There was a little girl across the road from me, and her name was Gayla. We were throwing a stuffed animal across the road, back and forth. We lived in a very busy two-lane road coming up and down Thompson Cove. And she threw that rabbit down over the bank, a stuffed rabbit. So I slipped across the road, went in the ditch, and got the rabbit out and threw it up on the bank back to her. And about that time, my dad came around the corner and saw me in the middle of that road. And man, he tore into me. He didn't spank me. His words. That's all my daddy had to do, was say words to me, and that was enough. Son, what was you doing out in the middle of that road? Don't you know you'll get run over? I don't know what he said. I don't remember. I was a kid. That's long ago. But I remember standing in beside the refrigerator, and this is the truth for those of you that can't see me. I can't hold myself up too good. I remember standing beside the refrigerator holding my leg up like his, because I was afraid he was getting ready to wear me out. My children in particular, my grandchildren, are learning I can do just like my daddy. I can jerk my black belt out and that joker will make a noise. You know what I mean? Put the fear of God in them, you know? My daddy, I don't know if he jerked his belt out or not, but I heard him do it more than one occasion. I knew I didn't want no spanking. And that day, my dad showed me great mercy and great grace. And then he gave me a piece of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum and said, don't you be back in that road, boy. Grace and mercy. Now, I'm going to talk to you about love for just a moment from a pastor's point of view. And y'all pray for the preacher, because it's not my job to always make you happy. It is my job to tell the truth and to love you with all that God's put within my heart. And that I can one of these days see you on the other side. That we can all make it to heaven together. Sometimes the chastisement of God is God exemplifying his love towards you. Sometimes there is correction. Hello, somebody. There's a lot of correction in love. Because if a pastor didn't care, he would never try to correct. If a parent did not care, they would never try to correct. I could go to the Proverbs and I could show you in the Proverbs where Solomon wrote that how that we are not to neglect or we are not to despise the correction of a father, but we are to embrace the correction of a father. A lot of times we see love and we say, well, God don't love me because I'm going through this, or this happened in my life, or that happened in my life. I cannot explain everything about God. I cannot do that. But I will stand here flat-footed today and tell you that Jesus loves you, and there is a relationship in correction. When you think about this, we see this throughout the Bible. But one of the greatest places that we see this is in Hebrews chapter number 12. And when you look in Hebrews, we wouldn't expect this particular verse to be in chapter number 12 the way chapter number 12 opens. But it talks about a relationship of love between God and His people. When you think about the relationship of love, love will not always tell you yes. Hello? Love often will tell you not what you want. A relationship. Love will not always tell you not what you want to hear. It'll correct you. It'll reprove you. It'll reveal to you. As the Bible said, the Holy Spirit will reprove. He will show you the error of your way. But it's not God being mean to you. It is not God trying to hurt you. It is God doing everything that He can within His abilities to talk to the human heart, to get the human heart to turn from their wickedness and to turn from their sins and to turn from the things that are not of Him, that they would turn their heart back to Him and love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. But there's scriptures sometimes that we would just like to take out. But this is some of them today. Again, when we think about love, it will not always tell you yes or make you feel good. We can see that as a parent, it's your love for a child that requires their obedience. And God will sometimes spank, this is my words, not commentary. God will sometimes spank, chasten those whom He loves. Because God is not willing that you would perish, but that you would have everlasting life. And God cannot condone sin and allow you to continue in your sin. And the question is, have any of you ever had a good spanking from God? I believe some of us have been to the woodshed with God. But look at the scripture, because it says this in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Look in verse number 5. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Oh, I want to read that again. Don't get mad at God when God's trying to do everything He can to keep you out of a burning devil's hell. God puts those guardrails up. God puts those boundaries up. God puts these restrictions over our lives today, and He says, don't do that. Don't go there. Read the Old Testament again. With Israel, He did it over and over and over and over again. But again, when you look at this particular verse of Scripture, He says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Look in verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth. That's an unusual way to love. You ever, as a parent, you ever had to correct one of your children and spank one of your children? Oh, we don't spank anymore. Let's see. You put them in timeout. We put them in timeout. We take their video game away. Now, little Johnny, don't you ever do that again now. 5 minutes later, he's doing it again because he ain't learned nothing. You do what you want to do the way you want to do it. That's your job as a parent, not mine. But I'm going to tell you something. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Well, if the Lord loved me, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through. No, God's trying to get you to the place of obedience. And He says that He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Look at the next verse. And he says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as a sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If God deals with your heart, is God dealing with your heart about your love for Him? Is God dealing with your heart about your relationship with Him? Here's me again. I don't understand. I do not get it. I cannot comprehend it. How people say that they love God, but they don't pray. They don't read their Bible. They don't come to church. They come to church when it's convenient. They serve God when it's convenient. They serve the Lord when it's in their best interest, if you will. But when the days get hard and the days get long and the trouble comes, my friend, that is the day for you and I to run to God and not away from God. Because the Bible says that God is chastening you, and God, my friend, He's trying to bring you to that place that you will surrender your total life unto Him. I thank God for a good conviction. I thank God that He will bring conviction upon the heart that's wayward. It's not God being mean to you. You're being more mean to yourself than you are anything else, because God only chastises those that He loves. When you begin to look at this, He says, you and I, in verse 7, if we endure chastening. In other words, if you undergo chastening, if you submit to the guiding hand of God, if you yield yourself to the guiding hand of God, God will deal with you as a son or a daughter. And then He says here in the Word, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Verse number 8 says, but if we be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. Look what the King James says. In this we see, but if we be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. In other words, he's saying if God does not deal with you about your sins, you are not God's child. There's a difference between me, and I'm grown and my children are grown, but let me use it like this, and this is the only way I can do it this evening. There's a difference between me chastising my grandchildren and me chastising your grandchildren, because they're not my grandchildren, they're your grandchildren. But I bet your bottom dollar that mine, I'll jerk a knot in one of them if I have to, mama, daddy, whoever, because I want them to learn to do the right thing. And God is only saying through His love for you that I'm trying to get you to the point that you'll be obedient and you'll follow me. And He says, if I don't, He said, then you are illegitimate. This again is what one translation, this is the amplified version of this. He says, chastisement is to train children by correction with words, reproving and admonishing, could be by infliction of evils and calamities, to chastise or to scourge. Sorry, that's a commentary and not the amplified. When we think about this, again, he says in the scripture, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us and gave them reverence, and we not much rather be in subjection unto the fathers and of spirits and live. Look in verse 10. He says, for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. In other words, if we chastise a child, it's going to profit, yes, but God does it so that it will profit with all. God is trying to get you and I to heaven. I've got about 10 things. I'm on number 5. Can I keep going or stop? I'll stop right here. The last thing is this I'm going to mention today. John preaching in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. how to experience the real love of God. Well, the greatest gift that God has ever given to His people is the opportunity to go to heaven. When we look at the scripture, Matthew chapter number 3, verse 1, this is where John was preaching in the wilderness. And he says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God made an opportunity. John said it, but God has given us the opportunity of repentance. Repentance means to turn away from, change your mind about. We got to turn away from sin. And we've got to change our mind about who God is. God is not some white-bearded, long-haired, old goat-looking man sitting on the throne with a ball bat that's going to bonk you over the head. But God is a God of love, and God is a loving Heavenly Father. That the Bible said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. What does repentance do? It opens up the doorway. It opens up the gateway. It opens up the opportunity for you and I to come. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18, the gateway, it opens up the opportunity. Because he gives this invitation in Isaiah 1 and 18. And he says, come now and let us reason. Let's talk about it. Let's sit down and talk about it. A lot of times we feel like that you're not good enough to be saved. Or you've went too far to be saved. And you've lived a life of rebellion. And you've lived a life of a waywardness from God. Maybe you're in the room today, and maybe you're a prodigal. Maybe you're here today and you're running just wide open away from God today, just as hard as you can run. And you felt like that the Lord today's been dealing with your heart and telling you to come back. This is the scripture. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What does it mean today? I believe that it's His love, His great love, that's calling us back to Him. But yet again, John, he says this in the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 3, verse number 8, I want you to go to that verse real fast and I'll be done this morning. He tells him in verse number 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. I thought about this and I thought, if you had to stand before a court of law today and be convicted of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence against you to prove that you're a Christian? And he says to bring forth this fruit of repentance. What does this do? It brings into your life, it brings a reconciliation between you and God. And it allows us to be fruitful as His people. People that love Jesus. People that really love Jesus. Are you with me? I guess this is a closing statement. People that really love Jesus won't sin. What? People that love Jesus will not sin. Let me explain that. By that I mean, if God tells you there's something you should not do, guess what? You're not going to do it. You're not going to be a habitual sinner. You're not going to practice sin. It's not going to be an everyday occurrence in your life. Something that you do willingly and knowingly every day is to go out and do the wrong thing, knowing it's wrong while you're doing it. Why? because I'm born again, I'm saved. And me being born again and me being saved is I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? That's an old youth camp thing. We'd rally back and forth at youth camp. But I love Jesus, and I'm not going to see how close to sin I can live and still say that I'm a Christian. I want to depart from those that work iniquity. Oh, now you're getting into that holier than thou thing, preacher. No, I'm not holier than anybody. Greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. And because he lives in me, he restrains me and convicts me and keeps me from being a habitual sinner and practicing sin. Why? Here it is. Because you love the Lord thy God with all your mind, all your strength, all your soul, and you put everything you got into loving him. Stand with me today. Is there enough evidence in your life? John said to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. If we love Jesus today, there should be some evidences in our life. Does that mean that some days I fumble the ball and some days I may drop the ball and some days I have to go back and repent and say things to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent of my sins? That happens. It's a good thing to do that. Matter of fact, that's a good thing right now that we all can do. Lord, if you can just turn on the searchlight of heaven and look on my heart today. And God, if there's any sin in my life, or if there's any sin in my heart today, forgive me for it. And turn away from those evils and turn away from those sinful things and turn your focus on one thing, and that's loving him. That is concentrating your love with intent on him. Father, we love you today and we thank you so much, God, for your blessings upon us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that God, that you are who you say you are. And Father, I thank you, God, that you do chastise us. I thank you, God, that you deal with us as sons and not illegitimate children. But God, you deal with us as your children. That God, you call us out of a life of sin, out of a life of sinfulness. And God, you've called us to a life of loving you. And Lord, this text today, it teaches us where Jesus said, if you knew me, you would love me. And God, I just say today, if this church loves you, if they know you, Lord, they will love you. And I just pray, God, that all over this room right now, that there would be a consciousness of every heart as we ask ourselves today, do we really love God? Do we really love Jesus the way Jesus wants us to love him? Father, I pray, God, for that one that cannot answer that question today. I pray for that one whose heart has drifted and whose heart has gotten, cannot answer that question today. I pray for that one whose heart has drifted and whose heart. And I pray, God, that you would rekindle the fire. Coming to church has got to be more than a ritualistic concept or ideas and routine. It's got to be because we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all that is within us. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would touch every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that's under the sound of my voice. And as you stand there this morning, would you just take a minute and look at your own heart, look at your own life? Would you take just a minute today to raise your hand and say, Jesus, I love you? If you have a hard time raising that hand and telling Jesus, Jesus, I love you, would you allow him to do a work of heart today? Would you allow him to do something on the inside of you today so that you can raise that hand and say, Jesus? Hey, friend, we're not here to live under condemnation. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Yesterday's gone, your past is behind you. If you've repented unto God, he has forgiven you of your sin. But just talk to him right there where you're at today. Say, Jesus, I love you. It don't have to be loud. It don't have to be boisterous. It's just between you and him right there where you stand today. You say, Jesus Christ, I love you. Jesus, thank you for giving your life on Calvary for me. Thank you for bleeding for me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for sacrificing your life.
and washing away my sins. Lord, I love you and I thank you that you're a good, good Father, that you're a gracious God. And Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to his name. I pray that this message today has spoke to hearts and to lives and to individuals. And if there's anything that would come out of this today, I would pray that there would be a renewed love for Jesus. Come out of your heart unto him today. And Father, we love you. God bless you.